for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and angry, angry man. He's got his ticket. He got a ticket yesterday, everybody. Moving violation.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew. And Drew gets himself a couple of moving violations a year.
No. I haven't had one in years.
You see, you got pulled over in Pasadena the other
day.
Yeah,
this year, just now. It's a 2-week period.
Well, that's obviously someone. Drew, when I tell you I don't have a problem with alcohol.
I know, it's exactly what
just a
Adam,
couple of drinks every night.
Exactly my thought process. Yes, absolutely.
No problems. Huh?
I understand. Listen, that's actually what I've been wrestling with. Do I have a problem?
No, you don't.
Or did I just get dinged ridiculously?
Well, here's the thing. You live in Los Angeles.
Yes. Here we go again.
I got to make a buck off.
Yes, of course.
So, but nothing you do is inherently dangerous because you don't get into accidents.
No.
And by the way, that's how they ought to do it.
But
yeah,
this wasn't speeding. This wasn't anything.
True is nothing. Just trying to make a little time. Here's what goes on in Los Angeles, too. Drew and I work. It's kind of funny. It's interesting. You guys listening around the country and even around the state probably got your eye on American Idol tonight. Everyone curious to see what's going to go on.
Yeah.
You got everything going on at the Kodak Theater. And it's right across the street from Jimmy Kimmel Live. And it looks all very glamorous. To us, huge pain in the sack.
Total. Complete.
I work across the street,
from that.
Literally across the street from where it is, where I sit up on my sixth floor and look out the window and look at all the lemmings lining up to get a glimpse at Chiffon and whatever the hell her name, Fantasia, yeah. And whoever the hell her name is. Seacrest. We all work in there, and what ends up happening is when they have these big events, such as the Academy Awards and the American Idol finale and all that, for us translates into huge pain in the ass because they close off Hollywood Boulevard, and Hollywood Boulevard is a major artery. And here's how this city works: this city is working like an old man's heart that's just been that. Where the guy's been living on a steady diet of ass on a shingle and chip beef and pudding, and the arteries are clogged already. Now we're cutting one off, and there's going to be a stroke. That's what happens. Like, we're already at full capacity, and now you cut off a main artery.
Right.
And so what ends up happening is everyone starts scrambling. You start heading, like, your house is one direction, you turn your back on it. You start heading the other direction.
Yeah, you have to, or else you just sit.
Right, and what happens when you live in Los Angeles, too, is every drive's a fishing expedition. It's like, your house is up and to the right, you're going down and to the left.
Just in case.
You're just fishing, turning, trying to keep moving, working your way around, looping around. Uh-oh, street's been closed off. Who's getting one of the guys, Shatner's getting another star in the Walk of Fame. They blocked the street off. Got to cut down and go back around again.
Yeah.
That's all this. So Drew was trying to navigate.
Yeah, I was locked in the American Idol
gridlock.
Gridlock.
Yes.
And I just said, all right, got to get off this street. Got to start moving.
That's right.
Let's move up.
And then there was very confusing signs.
They just wait for you there. Yeah.
They pounce. Yeah. So, again, create an environment.
I'm going to take pictures of all this.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
No. Create an environment that compels you to take an action and then pounce on you.
How about getting back to the hospital, too? I mean, it doesn't matter?
I don't know. Come on. You get paid. Are you worried about the patients?
Yeah.
Drew, as a doctor, by the way, that's why I tell you, keep that cooler with the organ transplant sticker on it in your back seat.
Yeah,
you know, the little Coleman cooler, organs. And by the way, all you got to do is take some calf's liver and throw it in there every once in a while. You think the average guy's walking the beat's going to, you open that up.
He's not going to open it.
Even if he did, I see some calf's liver and some dried ice in there.
No, don't do it.
He'll give you an escort.
That's right.
All the way to the Starbucks. Try to get 80.
So you don't think I should fight this thing?
No, I think you should fight it.
Because it seemed, and I thought about it.
Give it a try.
I wondered about this business too, but them waving me up the street into their little web.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing: fight it. There's a chance a cop may not show up.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
You can fight it through the mail too. I've done that.
Ooh, how do you do that?
You got to ask for a form. I don't remember how I did it. It was a long time ago, but I was guilty as hell, and I won through the mail.
Ooh, really? Through the mail?
Through the mail.
All right.
Correct the violation. What does that mean? Is that what that means? Correct the violation.
Do it through the mail, Drew. Fight the man through the mail.
Request a trial by written declaration.
Yeah.
I think you have to go to court to do that.
You do have to show up.
No, I just dropped it in the mail. Never went to court.
Why not? You don't help me, Anderson. You don't tell me how to do it.
Wait online. A minute.
Now you're just tantalizing me with this.
Wait a minute, Anderson. You
might have to pay first.
Oh. You got a moving violation, right?
Right. Well, it was for things being thrown out of my car.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Like, we find out more about Anderson every night.
And when he says things, he means dead hookers.
That or like a bomb or something, right?
Well, it was a dead hooker. All right. So, you throw something out of your car. What'd you throw out of your car, by the way?
It was just like a cigarette or something.
All right. I don't mind tossing a cigarette out of the car. I don't like the McDonald's wrappers. I don't know. Give that guy a ticket.
Yeah, it was a cigarette. But all then right. What you have to do is you have to pay for the ticket. You don't have to show up to court to pay for the ticket. You pay for the ticket, and then you send in your written declaration.
All right. So you do have to show up at court one day.
You don't have to show up to court to pay, do you?
Well,
you pay, it's over. They don't send you something back.
No, that's not true. They make sure that you pay first.
Yeah, but once they...
I know.
No, no, you pay first. You have to pay first.
But once you pay, it's over.
No, they sent me a check. It was from the court. I framed it, and I made a photocopy, and I framed it because it was unbelievable to me.
They sent you a reimbursement for the amount you paid?
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, that's another great one. You're going to fight the ticket, but just pay the ticket first, and then we'll decide whether you should get your money back or not. All right. Well, good times. And how'd you beat it, Anderson?
It was really half-assed on my part. I just wrote up a little thing while I was at the post office and sent it in. That was back in my drug days, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. But I couldn't afford the ticket, so I sent out. I mean, it was a mistake. It slipped out of my hand. I didn't try to. I was actually trying to buy more cigarettes right then, and they just wrote me. Like about a month and a half later, I got a check.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's my take on fighting the tickets, by the way, Drew. It doesn't really matter what the merits of your case are. Probably about one out of every 10 is going to make it past. The cop's not going to show up, or they're just going to randomly send it back just to say they do every once in a while. I think Anderson got lucky with that one. I'm sure you won't be so lucky, but give it a try anyway.
Hey, by the way, your name? I want you to know something about that. I'm reading this ticket
right now.
Take
a stand, Drew.
Look at my approximate speed. What does that tell you about how screwed up I was looking around trying to figure out what the hell was going on?
10 miles an hour.
10 miles an hour.
Which means 7.
But on a 35-mile-an-hour street. I was completely confused.
Disoriented, Drew. All right, buddy. I'm telling you, if you got that cooler with the calf's liver in it and it said organ transplant.
10 miles an hour. Getting a 10 miles an hour.
All right. Let it go, buddy. You got to breathe.
10 miles an hour.
Hello?
Jamie?
Huh?
You're 16?
Yeah. Fight What's the power.
Up? Yeah. Yeah. Smoke the weed.
Yeah, fight the power, dude. I'm all about against authority.
It's going to serve you well, too. I'll tell you that.
Very great
serve
strategy.
You well.
Yeah.
Listen, Jamie, don't let anyone ever tell you what to do, all right?
Oh, I don't.
Ever. Ever. If your parents tell you to do your homework, you don't do it. And if your boss tells you to show up early the next day, don't ever do anything anyone ever tells you to do.
I'm doing on that path. I once got in trouble for saluting a cop with the middle finger.
Yeah. All right. Like I said, it's going to serve you well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm all about lack of authority. I whack off quite a bit, and I can't, get off. Like, I can get off.
You're a girl?
Yeah.
Girls don't.
Okay, I masturbate quite a bit. Sorry.
Just curious. That's all. Not yeah. Don't mean to suggest anything by that.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but I do it quite a bit, and I can't get off if I just use my hand regularly. I have to use the back massager thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's if I do it regularly, it took one time. It took me an hour and a half.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I want to know why would that happen? Why would it take so long like that?
It's a chick, right?
Yeah.
Still confusing me.
16.
All right. That's what happens for women at 16.
Yeah, it's not all popping that age.
No, it ain't happening. It is for guys, mm-hmm. but it ain't for gals.
Mm-hmm. It can.
Use that back massager. Drew, what percentage, and Drew, put the ticket down now. You're starting to obsess now. Turn into Lenny Bruce. You're not funny anymore. Okay. Now listen.
Yeah.
What percentage of 16-year-old girls can diddle themselves just using a digit or two and have an orgasm within 15 minutes?
Less than 10%.
Less than 10%.
Within how long?
It's at 15 minutes, which is a fair less amount of diddling.
Less than 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20%.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then you start working in the back massage. You're in the tub.
You're up around 27, 28%.
Maybe getting more, 35. Maybe in the 40% range.
Yeah, because if 18 to 20, I'd say yes.
Yeah, 60, we're still talking about 60% who aren't having an orgasm through any masturbation at all.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
About that.
All right. All right, so she's right.
Where she's supposed to be.
Where she needs to be.
Yeah.
That's right.
About needs to be.
Jessica?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay, so my boyfriend just got back from the Gulf, and, we just started going out when he came back from the Gulf, and we started having sex, and he kept on going limp while he's inside of me, like when he starts going really fast, and he could stay hard when I give him a blowjob, and he could stay hard when I give him a handjob, but he can't get off.
Mm-hmm.
So we took him to the urologist, and they have no idea what's wrong with him.
He must love that.
Fix him! Fix him! Fix it! Throws the penis on the counter. Puts it in a shop vice. Starts running away.
Does he think that this is something new and unusual? In other words, what I'm getting at is, does he speculate that either he was traumatized in the Gulf, or maybe he was given some vaccines that he's reacted to poorly?
He thinks it has to do something with like loss of sensitivity down there, because while he was in like the Navy, like in when he was stationed in San Diego, he did a lot of drugs like PCP and acid and ecstasy and a lot of stuff like that.
I'm delighted to hear that. That's very reassuring, by the way. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, great. Yep. Time, huh?
Yeah, we do hear this once more from PC, from ecstasy.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. He can only have an orgasm through intercourse.
He can only have an orgasm when he masturbates himself. So he does that, like, on me randomly when he can't get off.
Randomly.
Otherwise.
And it could be any time. You could be at school or driving or
shopping,
with your parents.
Grocery
hey,
store.
You
church.
Never know.
Yeah.
They said random.
Whatever.
Random. Okay, but on me.
Know,
on
why?
Me.
Why? Why?
Chivalry is not dead.
Why, Sir Walter
on
Raleigh?
Me. It's like, I could just see her. She's working on like a crossword puzzle. She's got her reading glasses on. She's in the den trying to watch TV. He's standing over her. What are you eating there? Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. Here's what I'm trying to figure out. The hand job and the BJ doesn't work, but what I'm trying to figure out is, did intercourse work for him in the orgasm back when? But the BJ and the handy never did?
The blowjob did, but the hand job, it's never really. I mean, for most guys, it doesn't work that well.
All right. So he's done a bunch of drugs and he's injured himself. That's not all that uncommon.
All right, because something changed, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, you also had sensitivity down there. Does he have trouble actually feeling his penis?
He says it stops like having like feeling when he starts going really hard.
Didn't have to sit on like a turbine or something that could have injured the nerve, the pudendal nerve.
Maybe I have no idea what it could be. Like we tried like everything possible.
All right. She doesn't know what you're saying.
All right.
Okay, what's he do in the Navy besides the drugs?
What did he do? He was special warfare or something. Like he did a lot of things on like boats and he went to Afghanistan. And
did a lot of things on boats, Adam. You got that?
Yeah.
Hold on. Navy guy.
Did warfare things and a lot of things on boats.
Navy.
Yeah,
doing stuff on boats now.
Yeah. Slow down.
All right. That's what God love women. They don't sweat the details. He flew a thing into a mega alley or somewhere with the plane. They just never know. Their dad, we talk to women all the time. Dad could be a colonel. They could be an ace with, could have shot down 28 MiGs in Vietnam. Could have flew an F-4 Phantom and been shot down and been in the Hanoi Hilton for 4 years. What's your dad? He did something with the, with the plane. I don't know.
The Army people, Army
He's
guys.
Army
He's an
guys.
Army guy. Army
yeah.
man.
He's in the Navy. What's he do? Something with a boat.
A lot of things with boats.
Okay. Again, let me write that down. That's what I realized. Like, He's a farmer. What's he farm? He does stuff with dirt. All right. I don't blame him. Now, I don't think my sister knows what my dad does, but my dad didn't do anything.
Right.
So
she had an out.
She had an out.
Yeah.
Because it really was nothing.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed, though, if I was like a fighter pilot or a professional highlight player or something interesting and cool and, you know, secret agent or something. My daughter was like, Val?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yep.
What's up?
I'm calling about a year ago. It was a year ago, April 27th. My father passed away. Mm-hmm. It was in a motorcycle accident.
Sheesh.
Yeah. I've been to counselor after counselor after counselor, and they all tell me the same thing, you know, you have a fear of loss, blah, 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 blah. But the thing is I'm taking it out on everybody around me, my best friend, my boyfriend, my daughter.
What are you doing?
I'm downright mean now.
Were you that close with your dad?
No, I hated the bastard. Sorry, I shouldn't say that on the radio.
So this was just merely an excuse for you to start acting out your hostility?
It was more of my dad was bad to me when I was growing up.
Mm. Wait,
so real bad.
Wait. You hate the bastard. You wish he had died, and now he died.
No. We had started to work through all that, and the lady killed him before we ever had a chance to get any closure, I should say.
You mean the lady in the car?
The lady in the car that hit him. Yeah, she hit him head on and killed him.
Let me ask a couple of good questions. Quiet, Drew.
Okay.
No.
What did he do to you that made you hate him?
My mom gave me up to him when I was 4, and I grew up in crack parties and orgies, and I knew how to cut his stuff and sell it for him. I mean, by the time I was...
You're an addict too, Val?
Huh?
You're an addict also?
No, I've never touched the stuff. I had my moment with it when I was about 17 and realized I was going to be my father and said, I'm never touching the stuff again. And then I got pregnant.
What stuff
was
that?
Speed.
And so you don't drink now?
Oh, no. My mom's the alcoholic. I leave that to her.
All right, so Val... God bless you for having kids, by the way, being the world's angriest mom. Okay, here's this, I'm not going to dig in on Val because you've been through enough in her relatively short life. And by the way, she's 23, sounds like a Vietnam nurse in her 50s.
You're going to let me loose on this one?
No. Here's the dealio. Your dad's a horrible guy, and your mom may be worse. And a lot of the anger you have toward your dad should also be heading toward your mom, who was the one who dumped you off with the drug addict biker and went and chased her booze dreams and never dealt with you. I don't know. Your dad probably was lucky to make it as far as he did in life. I mean, if he died at 45, that was probably old for him, considering the kind of life he was living. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of progress you were trying to make with him, but this is more about therapy for you. And go ahead, Drew. Drew's
got about 10 things to say. Yeah.
Hurry.
One is Adam is absolutely right. He outlived his disease. That has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, your dad was an absolute asshole. You wished him dead, and he died. That must feel horrible. You wanted him dead, and he died. Here's the reality about that relationship you were forming with him. It would not have gone anywhere. There is no way that would have gone anywhere but to more misery for you.
How do you know?
I know it because I'm talking to Val. I can tell what's going on
with
Val.
Maybe he got sober and found Jesus Christ.
It's not going anywhere because Val didn't do any work. She would have done a lot of work herself also to make that relationship work.
Mm-hmm.
That relationship was going nowhere. You wished him dead and he died and now you're guilty.
She didn't wish him dead.
Val, when you were a kid, you didn't wish your dad dead?
I wished him dead every
Okay. And he died, and you feel guilty, and you feel as though somehow that you had a responsibility in that regard. It has nothing to do with you. He died of his disease of addiction. That relationship you thought you were going to have with him was never going to be real, never going to be realized, never going anywhere. This has nothing to do with you. It's his disease. Take care of yourself. You've got a ton of crap you got to deal with. Let go of all this. You're just using it as an excuse to act out on the people you love.
And please, focus
cut it out.
On your kids.
Cut it out. It's not okay, Val.
True. High horse, out of the barn.
I know what this is. I've seen this a million times.
And what happened? Was your dad sober?
He had sobered up, but
no.
Nah.
I know what this is. Adam, don't.
He didn't sober.
He was just using a little less at this time.
Right.
Val, cut it out. Go to, if you want some help, go to an Al-Anon meeting, get a sponsor. But I suspect you're an addict yourself. You're acting like one.
Who's the woman who hit him? What happened?
The lady, her name was...
I don't need her name.
That. Just the lady driving by.
I don't need her name.
Val, cut it out. Cut it out.
What was he... Where? How come he hit her? Or she hit him?
She hit him. She turned into him. She turned straight into him.
Was she driving up above Franklin? And was there a no left turn sign there?
All right, Val.
It was just an open road.
Okay, yeah.
All right. So, there you go.
Listen, go
all
to some...
Start focus on your kid and go to Al-Anon.
Val,
you?
You're using this as an excuse to act out on your family. You cut it out. Come on. Cut it out.
All right, Drew. Don't have any more kids.
Okay? You can do better than this. You're not. His death had nothing to do with you. Nothing. And that relationship you thought you were going to have, you weren't going to have anyway.
No. Well, what? With what, by the way?
Listen, and between what?
Yes. I don't know. I'm sure he was a world-class a-hole.
Yes.
And this woman killed him.
No.
He killed himself.
Yes.
All right. Now, here's the thing, too, everybody. Listen.
Val's an addict, too, by the way. She's
okay.
Acting like one.
When all you have... When the only history you have with somebody is being part of their horrible lifestyle, where their hedonistic lifestyle, where they're having orgies and doing speed and using you to step on their speed and sell it to their buddies, and God knows what his fellow biker buddies did with you when you were 13 and all this stuff. When this is your only relationship, no need to go back and patch it up. It's really like looking for a crap you took 20 years ago and seeing if you can make it into a log cabin. What? It's nothing there.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, it's my dad. Okay, it's your dad. But what if the guy just given you up for adoption? You know what I mean? When you were two weeks old, this is worse. Like, here's what I'm saying: if your dad just cuts you, let's just say, okay, here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, listen to me, Drew.
Yeah.
Let's just say the dad knocks up the mom and is never seen again.
Right.
And the mom just raises the kid. Okay, the kid doesn't need to find the sperm donor.
No.
He knocked her up and left town.
Mm-hmm.
This is worse than that. He hung out and abused you for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have less reason. At least the guy who left, at least that was his only screw-up.
And we're not saying don't give a guy in recovery a second chance, but he could have 2 years of solid recovery under his belt, and you would have to do a little work there. So he'd ask you to do some work yourself before he'd want you back in his life.
But even then, there isn't that much to uncover.
Of the past is none.
The past, it's all bad.
Thing. Yeah, it's nothing.
All right. All right, people go a little crazy with this blood thing.
They have a
thing. The blood thing is good if the person... acts like it.
There's a fantasy. The child is so full of fantasy about who the parent is. The reality comes to bear. They want to recapture that fantasy. Well, that fantasy was just a fantasy. It wasn't really there in the first place.
Drew's still angry about the ticket.
Oh, man, am I.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, your blood's your blood. Great. But if your blood
is... Isn't that funny, Chris?
Is Chris is laughing. Are you high, son? Yeah.
Get officer. What's this guy's name?
Drew's angry. He's just doing his job.
Look, Seal.
These guys are out doing their best to stop another 9/11 from happening. Don't you worry, Drew. And don't question their techniques. If that means handing out tickets to doctors for chicken S violations, so be it. We don't know. We're not law enforcement personnel. We don't know how the techniques work. We cannot judge. I'm sure there's
not on the inside. Don't
I'm sure there's a method to their madness, Drew.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I said last night that Alanis Morissette may be in here
tonight. I said it 20 minutes ago on the Stryker show.
Oh, she's not in here.
No.
All right. She's not under the desk?
She's not coming?
I don't think so. She's coming in, I think, later on, maybe a couple weeks from now.
Okay.
All right. So, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, consumer advocate, Dr. Drew. He's in your corner, everybody. He's fighting for you. Got himself a moving violation yesterday. He's got a chip on his shoulder. Yeah, he's angry, Drew is. He's reading about how to contest it. He's going to write a letter. It's going to be big, Drew. I'll tell you, you're going to win. And you know what you're going to win?
Am I going to win?
Nothing. Okay, Drew, stop reading the ticket.
I think I got a friend who's a judge in Compton.
That's not going to do anything for you.
Nothing?
No. All right, you ready to move forward?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's talk to Echo, who's 15.
Hello.
Echo?
Yep.
What's happening?
I have I would like to say first that I love you guys. I listen to you guys every night.
Thanks.
I met this guy at a bar, and I'm 15 years old, and I went to a bar. Mm-hmm. And I met him, and he's 24, and mm-hmm. My ride dumped me there. So we went over to his house and had sort of a kissing thing, and he was supposed to call me today, and he didn't call. And I was wondering if I should go to his house and see what's up.
Wait.
Well, wait a minute. Does he know how old you are?
Yeah.
He does.
And how old was he again?
24.
And you didn't have sex with him?
No.
What did you do with him?
Just kissed him.
All right. And you went to his apartment?
Yeah.
Echo, here's the deal.
You dodged a bullet.
You should count your blessing that you weren't raped and dismembered.
Yeah.
That's what was going to happen that night, but he had a weak moment. Do not go anywhere near this guy.
At what point did he know you were 15?
At the bar.
At the bar. Wow, what a gentleman.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he walked me home.
Echo, what do you think this guy's about? He's a rapist.
Well, he didn't do anything. He just made out a little.
With a 15-year-old.
Hey, baby, take your retainer out. Make some room for my tongue.
Oh, my God.
Echo,
you don't
What's going on
that?
With you, by the way? Boy, I'll tell you, your dad needs a nice iron boot to the sack.
I don't have a dad.
Shock.
Never had one? Never knew him?
I've never known him.
Oh, well, this is what happens. Yeah. What about your mom?
I have two moms.
Oh, lesbos?
No, I was adopted by my grandmother.
Yeesh.
Oh, boy.
That's bad times.
Your mom a drug addict?
No. Well, she used to be, but she's not anymore.
All right. Listen, you're angry, you're acting out, and I don't know who's supposed to be supervising you.
My grandma.
You got two moms.
Where's your mom now? Your real mom?
She's watching TV.
Why is the grandma watching you and not her?
Huh?
Why is your grandmother watching you and not your real mom?
Because she adopted me. Because my mom couldn't take care of me.
Why?
I know, but now your mom's okay, right?
I've tried to live with her, and she's just...
Oh, okay. All right, so, Echo, here's the situation. You're angry, and rightfully so, and you're acting out, and you're going to screw yourself up. I mean, you're going to get pregnant.
Or
you're going to get venereal disease.
You're getting into behavior.
You're
going to
get killed. You're going to, or worse, you could become a publicist. You understand? Do you know what a publicist is, Sweet Pea?
I have no clue.
That's an a-hole, mostly gay, who worked with celebrities and aren't celebrities but think they're celebrities. It's horrible. They're horrible, horrible, wretched, horrible, awful people who, if they had a shred of dignity, would put a shotgun in their mouths. Oh. You could end up one of them. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want that to happen to you or anyone. Really, for my sake, too, because, they're so horrible. So, Echo, get some therapy or something. I know you're angry, and I know you have to be angry all the time, and even when you call radio shows to talk to people, you have to pretend like we called you.
Isn't it interesting
she's angry.
How when people have a certain experience of life, when you ask a question about why things are so out of line, they're sort of bewildered?
Yeah.
Where's your real mom, huh?
Yeah,
why can't she take care of you?
Dad abandoned the family, your mom's an alcoholic or a drug addict, and you're raised by grandmother, probably trying to do the best she can, but let's not forget whose mom she is. She's either your dad's mom or your mom's mom.
It's got to be the mom's mom.
Mom's mom, and take a good look at mom.
Yeah.
Maybe didn't do a spectacular job with mom.
And yet, strangely enough, no grandpa.
Ooh.
Strangely enough.
Ooh. All right, now everyone's daddy. You got the 24-year-old guy. At least the guy didn't have sex with you, Echo. Why didn't the guy have sex with you?
Well, we got to that point, but I said no.
Oh, you did?
And he didn't pull out a weapon or something?
No, he respected it.
Oh, right. Yeah, it sounds like a very respectful 24-year-old with a 15-year-old.
Hey, you know, times are changing.
Where's your grandpa?
My grandpa? I don't have a grandpa.
Yeah,
just true. You got a crystal ball, buddy. I thought you just kissed the guy.
Well, it was making out. We didn't go further than clothes taken off, nothing like that.
All right. Well, look.
You didn't take clothes off or you didn't go further than clothes taken off?
We didn't take clothes off.
He's not going to call you, A, because he probably sobered up and realized he doesn't want to go to jail. And B, you're in the ninth grade.
See, again, he had a weak moment, and you've been spared.
All right, so you dodged a bullet. I know you're going to get into trouble. I don't know what to tell you. Just don't get pregnant. Can you go lesbian or something?
No, I wouldn't do that.
All right, well, can you not get pregnant?
I'm on the shot.
Good. Yeah. All right, and how about you go to Alateen?
What's that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go to Alateen. Yeah. Can you do that?
I have no clue what it is.
Just call AA locally.
Call
and ask
AA.
For referral to Alateen. They'll give you.
Oh, okay.
Can you do that?
I can.
Do that, baby doll.
All right.
All right. That's going to do it for you. That'll work.
All right.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah.
And look, this is why these parents need to be prosecuted, because they create a mess, and our society is so goddamn stupid when it comes to this stuff that we have all these platitudes like, well, she just pick herself up by her bootstraps and get busy, start focusing on her studies.
Listen, I'm hearing stuff lately. We've gone so far backwards, like the last 3 months. I argue stuff on some of these cable news channels. Hey, just kids being kids.
Right.
They're just kids being kids. Hey, what's the guy? Oh, kids have always done stuff like this.
No, the difference between a 15-year-old that has been properly taken care of, loved, and nurtured by two heterosexual parents
jumping off a roof into a swimming pool,
and I'm not even talking, I don't care what the act is, just that 15-year-old and the 15-year-old that had the abandoning father and the drug addict mom that was raised by the aunt or the grandma who was also the horrible, crappy mom of the now junkie. Totally different person.
Yeah.
Totally different person. Yeah. And telling that person, hey, let's go. Focus. Now, buckle down. Focus on your studies. And let's see if we can get you to college and then have a nice, stable relationship and don't have any kids before you're 25. It's like trying to get your dog to crap in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You're smart. Now, you don't want to see your Duke on the nice Afghan rug there, do you, Bucky? Come on. Use the bathroom. You see me?
And you know
come
what?
On.
What was our last caller's name?
Echo.
When you come at Echo with that kind of stuff, she hears exactly what the dog would hear when you're trying to get him not to crap on the floor, which is wah 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 wah.
Right.
That's all she hears.
Charlie Brown's teacher.
That's it.
Now, it's not to say that there's Echo's a lost cause.
No.
It's just she's going to require some therapy. She's going to require some work.
Oh, but Adam, how dare you? She could just choose to get better.
We're all
she
individuals.
She should choose
we're
to not
individuals.
Have these
That's
horrible
right.
people in their life.
Of course.
Choose to stay in school.
Of course. Oh, of course. Well, you know, listen, if Nancy Reagan says say no, then Echo can
just say yes or no, whatever she wants. Yeah.
Mom's a junkie.
Just a choice. Oh, everything in life is just a choice. Choice.
That's don't do drugs.
Yeah. That's right. Choice. Just don't do it. Yeah. Come on, everybody.
Yeah.
And as a society, I don't know why we have zero interest in this, because these are the pregnant teens, these are the welfare moms, these are the physically abused, battered wives, these are the horrible parents of the future, these are the criminals, these are the prostitutes. This is it. This is all of them. This is all the people that don't pay taxes, fill the prisons, and fill the women's shelters. This is all of them. We don't want to focus on them, or they're just the same as everyone else. Fantastic. All right. Good. Anna?
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
Bush
will pray it away. He'll be fine.
Huh?
Go ahead, Anna. Sorry.
Okay. I just want to say thanks for, I don't know, I've, grown up on you guys. I just feel like I've gotten through, my adolescence, listening to you guys. I don't know. I just want to say thanks. Anyway.
Thanks, baby doll.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I'm just kind of nervous. Sorry.
All right.
It's all right.
I just had a question about birth control. I've been on birth control, erythrocycline. Actually, now I'm taking a generic form of it for about 4 years. Kind of on and off, but more on and off, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, is it really bad if you take, if you sort of don't take it on the exact time that you did? Sometimes I wait a couple hours because I get really sick when I first start taking, my new, the first pills on the new pack.
Hold on, Drew. It's time for an installment. It's a new show, new installment. Chief Thunder Bear.
Oh, he's going to answer
American
this?
American Indian gynecologist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to talk to him for a long time.
Yeah, well, you're going to...
What a treat.
He doesn't speak a word
no,
English.
No, I'll translate. It's fine.
You speak Choctaw, yes?
Choctaw, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, because that's the only language he speaks. So
I thought he spoke Kwakutl, but okay.
Maybe a little. I'm a little confused because I let me just stand back.
Okay.
All right. Down at you.
Anna?
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
About that birth control pill.
Yeah.
First, I want to commend you for taking contraception. Thank you for not having kids. Okay, I will. Yes, I will. I will. I will. He wants me to get right on with it. Anna.
Okay.
Okay. The fact that you take the pill every day. Chris, get the chief some coffee.
Yeah,
right now. Right this second. Right now.
Nahe.
Okay. The you're concerned about taking the pill at the same time every day. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Na ya ya na wa hey ya ye ke ke chen na wa hey ya han na hey 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 ke.
This doesn't translate directly to English, but he's sort of wondering who it is you're using the pill with.
My boyfriend. I've been going out with him for about like 2.5 years.
He wants to know if he's a good guy.
And yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And that relationship's going okay?
Yeah, I mean, we have our problems, but I mean, overall, gotcha. Probably the
what
best.
What kind of problems?
Gotcha.
What kind of problems?
Well, his family is kind of wacko, and
what do you mean?
He's had like a bad childhood, and his family, as a consequence, obviously has had one too.
Of course. Listen to me.
More
coffee, Chris. More coffee, quick.
Starbucks.
Let's get back to Anna, Chief.
I know.
She can't make the coffee right. I know. Sorry.
Huh?
Okay.
He
sang a prayer for your boyfriend's family. Yeah, I think Fantasia won. Okay. A few hours here or there is not going to make any difference.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about it. If it's a different time of day, if one's in the morning, one's in the evening, it could make a difference. All the research is done on people doing it exactly at the same time, but the reality is a couple hours more or another doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay.
So say it, the chief.
Yeah, he's in there.
Okay, thank you.
And he blesses you and your family. And your boyfriend's family.
Okay, you.
But watch out for that boyfriend with the abusive, with the troubled past. He could be a little bit chaotic.
Yeah, hey.
I won't. Okay.
Chachi.
Same to you. Chris, you heard him.
All right, well,
he's out of there. Treat.
Chief Thunder Bear, gynecologist. Wow. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. This guy wears many hats, many headdresses.
And he had that huge bear head with the pelt going down his back. It's amazing.
Yeah, maybe we'll come by. We got to invite him.
I love
that,
heritage. I love that culture.
Yeah, very strong. Very spiritual people.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. I'm going to get Chief Thunder Bear some coffee, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
That chief
sure
was sort of hostile at the coffee machine.
Chief?
Yeah.
Well, Thunder Bear?
Yes.
Yeah, first off, he's a very proud man.
I guess that's it. He felt like you kind of, or Chris, I guess, really would put it.
Well, he did. He clearly asked Chris to go get him a warm-up on a number of occasions, and Chris sort of just
looked at him, scared. Like he probably thought he was being insulted by that.
It's a totally different culture. And, Chris was scared and didn't know what to do, and I think Chief Thunder Bear took that as a slight.
Yeah, an insult.
All right. He seemed all right, though.
Okay.
We wish him well.
Yeah.
He's mounted his Pinto bareback, and he's now heading for the reservation. So we'll maybe talk to him tomorrow night. And who knows?
He may be a regular on the show.
He may be a regular. And last night he was a psychologist. He was a therapist.
That was a different...
Different guy.
That was not the same guy.
American Indian therapist. I mean, the gynecologist.
Was that the same guy?
Who knows this guy? What? How many hats this guy wears?
I guess the shaman job is a little more protean.
Mm-hmm. More protean. Yvonne?
Yes, hi.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up, baby doll?
I have a kind of a weird question.
I was molested by my dad when I was, well, sorry, when I was 11.
Come here and give me a hug, yeah.
Started at 11. Yeah. And he was around you for the 11 years before that?
Yes. Huh.
Wow.
Quaint.
It just seems like...
Flight, yeah.
Yeah, maybe... You know, like, maybe there could have been some thoughts when you had a girl, like, okay, I'm going to get her one day. But by the time her seventh birthday passed, you might think, sort of, it's grown on.
Here's where my head goes with that. A, there was another one that he was working on before. Mm. Or B, his alcoholism got to the point where this started happening.
Do you have another sister or brother he was...
No, I have a brother, but I don't think anything happened to him ever.
And was he an alcoholic, your dad?
No.
No, I don't know what happened.
Drug addict?
No. At least not that I know of.
All right. Okay, so at age 11, what did he start doing?
Just random touching. Mm. I mean, it never went past, like, sex or anything.
I mean, never turned into sex.
No.
No intercourse, but some grabbing and goosing.
Right.
And he was sober when he did this.
Yes.
Oh, hold on a second. Maybe you're right. Line 5, maybe the effed up line.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
The other ones do it a little bit, but 5 does it like crazy.
Are you sure you're not just one of those test pigeons who's trying to pick some
rhythm
to something that's...
Could be. Listen, trust
me. Okay. All right. I'll keep an eye, though. You did mention 5 before.
She said yes, by the way, about the sober.
All right. We can't hear her. Line 5's a little screwy. She's in and out. So anyway, Yvonne. Okay, so he did this for how long?
About till I was 14.
Okay, what is your question?
My question is this. It's not really a question. I'm kind of freaking out about this because my brother and his fiance, she's pregnant, and they're planning on moving into the house. And in about 2 weeks, they're going to find out the sex of the baby. And I'm kind of freaking out that it might be a girl and the same thing might happen to her.
Why don't you tell your sister-in-law?
Your brother's going to get weird.
Your brother will get weird, but tell the sister-in-law because she will not let this happen.
Well, how about...
Unless your brother was abused and this woman picked abusers.
They're moving into the house, so you got that white trash thing going on. What's up with your brother? That he's got a wife and he's a kid and they're moving home? I mean, that's...
Yeah, they're trying to finish school. Oh. And they're going to live at home for a while with the baby. So,
All right. And where's your mom? Is she around?
Yes.
What if, have you ever told your mom about this?
No. Well, I wrote her a letter once, but... I never gave it to her.
Well, you never gave it to her?
No.
You think your mom's in denial, or do you think she knows anything?
I don't think she knows anything.
Why don't you tell your mom?
I couldn't do that.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to try talking to that. How about your brother? Can you tell him, or do you think he'd freak?
No, he would freak. He's and the very sister-in-law. Close with my dad.
Sister-in-law. Because the mom will protect the child.
Right.
Unless your brother had been sexually...
I feel like I still live at home also.
Yvonne, your sister-in-law.
Here's what's going to happen, though. He's going to tell the sister-in-law. Sister-in-law is going to tell the brother. The brother's going to freak on Yvonne. And the whole thing's going to turn into a cluster.
Well, what the opposite
are
dad.
You out of the house?
No, I'm still at home.
What? What, 23?
Uh-oh. I know.
Sorry,
I know.
Chris. Sorry, buddy. Sorry, that must have hurt. Ooh, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And by the way, why is it the average guy that or girl that wasn't molested moves out at 19 and a half, and the average person that was molested stays till 28?
Yeah, isn't that the craziness?
Yeah. That's the molester you're living with. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Maybe Chris was molested. No. All right. Yvonne, can you move out of the house?
I actually tried, but it never kind of worked out before.
Look,
and I really can't afford it right now.
Who cares? Hold on. You can't afford not to.
No, I know. That's very
Do you have any friends?
Yeah, I have a lot of friends.
Okay. Doesn't one of them want an apartment? Get a job. What are you doing? Junior college?
Oh, no. I work full-time.
Full-time? Full-time. Get a friend. Get an apartment. Get out of there. All right. Look, everybody, here's the deal. You cannot open up this can under the same roof you're living in.
So the point Adam's making is you need to tell the sister-in-law, but first get out of the house.
Yeah, and by the way, you really want to live in the house at 23
with the
brother, with the diddler on the roof.
You being with the perpetrator.
If I was. Ironically, not Jews. No way. Here's the deal, though. You don't want to be, you got a crappy mom, you got a crappy dad, now you got a loser brother and his white trash girlfriend.
Where
they're going to move in.
The little girl I diddled.
You're gonna have these, the kid's going to be crying all night.
You just don't stay in a house with the perpetrator. It's horrible for you, Yvonne, psychologically. Get out of there.
All right, then tell your brother or tell your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. So I had my girl call Drew today, try to score some drugs from him.
I gave you what you needed for the trip.
Some sleeping pills.
I did.
Went a little Valium, too.
Yeah.
What's up?
You went Valium on Valium?
What about some Valium?
You got sleeping medicine. You use your sleeping meds. You'll be fine.
And they're not sleeping medicine. They're downers.
What's the worst that could happen? Like ODs and dies?
Yeah, what am I going to do? Drew, you know I'm a heavyweight. You've seen me on an Ambien and four Bloody Marys doing fine.
And I've seen your wife on a speck of Ativan. It's like,
holding court. I know.
So I don't want her getting into it.
Don't worry about
her. I want you feeding it to her.
I can handle her.
You got what you need.
Come on. How about some Valium? Listen. I'll just go to Dr. Marcel. He's the candy
man. That's fine. That's good.
He's the candy man.
That's good times.
Don't make me score with Marcel.
You're welcome, too. I have no problem with that.
Come on. Just give it. Come on, buddy. Buddy, I come over to your house. You know, I look at the closet. Jesus Christ. He doesn't give me refills on my drugs or anything. Come on, Drew. If I was going to have a problem, I would have had it by now.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. I want to try some Valium.
Oh my God! So you want it for a recreation while you're in Europe?
No, I'm taking a trip. I got a 14-hour plane ride.
Take the Ambien.
I don't want to go to sleep. I just want to mellow out.
What do you mean? You take the Ambien, fine. Seriously, I've seen you on Ambien. It just mellows you out.
What about the Valium though? That could be different. That's different. See, that the Ambien will put you to sleep. Mellow your scene.
Aside from the fact the Ambien has lesser addictive potential, though
you can do worse than being in
It's great for flight, for travel, because it makes you amnestic. Time goes very fast on that medicine.
Valium.
No.
That'll mellow your hash. How dare you?
Yeah, how dare me?
How dare you? I put my neck out by having my assistant call you.
You should have heard the order, too. It was bizarre.
Well, I never...
Adam Carolla's calling. He wants Ambien and Valium or Ativan.
Yeah.
It's like, would he like some heroin, too, while he's at it?
They don't have pharmaceutical heroin.
You're right. I could stay with the OxyContin. I'm sorry.
But they have pharmaceutical Coke? You have a liquid version of Coke that you could score me? All right, I want a Valium. Is that insanity? Here's why I want.
Call myself.
I want a Quaalude too.
Yeah.
Do they do Quaaludes? Are they still doing Quaaludes? I never did a Quaalude.
You're going to be in Europe. You can get stuff off the shelf there.
All right. Listen, here's what I got: a 14-hour plane ride.
Why so long? By the way, it's not that long to Italy.
You got to fly
somewhere.
Well, you got to fly L.A. to Paris or something.
Yeah,
that's a good 12 hours right
that's
there.
9 hours, you're saying. 9-10.
Well, here's the math. Here's what I know. It takes about 6 hours to get from L.A. to New York. It takes about 6 hours to get from New York to Paris. Yeah.
I don't think it's
there. I did it a year and a half ago.
All right.
I know. You fly the Concorde from New York to Paris, and you get there in 3 hours. But
really?
Yeah, I think it's like 6 hours L.A. to the East Coast, and then it's another 6 hours East Coast to Europe.
Okay.
And then, you go on.
I thought it was about 10 hours to Paris. That's much.
Well, I don't know, depending on the Gulf Stream whatever. But it's about, pull up the map there. Let's find out how far it is. Anyway, you go L.A. to Paris. I guess it matters what direction you're flying. It might be faster on the way back, like L.A., like New York is faster back from L.A., that's probably about 11, 12 hours on the way there, and then it's 2 hours from there to Italy.
Okay.
I want to catch a buzz, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Put my
feet up.
Dude.
Watch the same DVD on the way there and on the way back. You know what I'm saying? And then watch it again when I get home. So I have no idea.
The Ambien will do that for you.
Okay. I want to try a little Valium. You never know. Some stuff works. Some stuff doesn't work.
Or Ativan.
Or Ativan.
Yeah.
Now, what's the difference between Ativan and Valium?
Same family of medicine.
Ativan is kind of, I've tried them. It's like,
Valium's the same.
Yeah, but it's got a little more punch.
Little more of, some people describe a little more of a euphoric quality.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
A lot of people like that Ativan.
Here's all I'm saying. A lot of people like the OxyContin stuff and the painkillers and that kind of stuff. I tried them. Don't do anything. It's important to find out what works on you, is it not? Is it not?
For what?
What works on you.
For what purpose?
Yeah, I got a 12-hour plane flight. You want to mellow out.
I see.
See what I'm saying?
That's what you're saying.
Valium could be my drug. All right. Listen, Drew. If I had a problem, I would have had it by now. You see what I'm saying? When was the last time I bugged you for some downers?
It's today, Thursday. I'm sorry.
Oh, please. Listen, I'll go to Marcel. I'll go to Dr. Marcel.
27 days.
I'll go to Candyman. He's probably in a tanning booth right now.
Let's call him.
Don't do drugs.
Parker? Chris, how many miles from New York to Paris? Yeah, I know you don't know. That's what I'm telling you. Look it up on the computer.
Come on, take some calls.
Parker.
Yes.
What's up?
Not much.
All right. What's up?
You've been waiting a long time for this.
No,
too
that's
long.
It. 87
Just
minutes.
Do it!
Well, wait a little longer. Miranda?
Hey.
You're 18?
Huh?
What's up, baby doll?
I was molested and raped and abused my whole childhood, you know?
You were molested and raped your whole childhood?
Yeah, and I was abused from my dad and my mom.
Come here and give me a hug. Yeah.
What did your mom do to you?
Well, she didn't do nothing, but she didn't stop my dad. She was a drug addict and my dad was an alcoholic.
All right. And your dad sexually abused you?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I got adopted. My dad killed my mom, and then he had an overdose on heroin.
They both died?
So I was adopted when I was 14.
They both died?
Yeah.
How old were you when they were both gone?
14.
I was 14.
Wow.
And I was in the house, and, like, they would always, like, lock me in a room, you know, and stuff, so.
And your dad, were you there when your dad killed your mom?
Yeah, I was.
How did he kill her?
Because he was protecting me, because he wanted to come in, and he just wanted to kill everybody. Oh. And she more or less protected me because I was her baby, you know?
Yeah.
So
then he killed your mom in front of you?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, more or less, the door was kind of open, and then I saw her in the hallway, and yeah,
Did the police come?
Yeah, and then they got me out of the house, and I got adopted.
Okay. And did he immediately shoot himself with heroin?
Well, he was on heroin when it happened, and then the police came, and he was already dead in the hallway. So I just stayed in the room, and I was, like, on my bed, you know, and I don't know. I got adopted.
Hold on. I don't understand. The cops came, he killed her, then the cops came shortly thereafter, then how'd he OD on heroin, and maybe he was already high on heroin?
Yeah.
Did he die? Oops, wait a minute. Who are we just talking to?
Miranda.
Oh, wait a minute. I screwed that up. Miranda, did he die that day?
Yeah, he died before the cops got here.
Oh, before the cops?
Yeah, and then the cops came and they got me out of the house.
Gee.
How long were you on your bed by yourself?
For about an hour.
Oh, man.
And, well, I got adopted when I was 14, and, I mean, my life is great now. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't change it, but me and my boyfriend, I've been going out with him for about a year. Okay. And I put up a wall where I just won't, like, we have sex, and I just cry afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering how I can finish.
First of all, what kind of guy is this guy, your current boyfriend?
Yeah, he's my boyfriend.
What kind of guy is he?
He's really sweet. He hasn't done anything wrong to me.
He's not a drug addict, he doesn't abuse you.
He's a pretty good boy.
And you don't cheat on him?
No, I don't know. I just barely had sex with him not long ago.
I consider this a miracle.
Yeah, me too.
A miracle. Miranda, God bless you that you can have a relationship with a good guy, not sabotage it, not choose a guy who's abusive or an addict himself. So what if you have a little bit of emotional outburst and you push him away physically? You've been through more than, I think, almost anyone I've ever spoken to.
Yeah.
And you're talking to somebody.
Other than me, because my dad misses Pop Warner football
games.
Yeah,
that was tough for you.
It still haunts me.
But, man, this is and you know who you're talking to here, people that listen to stuff all night long, and you've really gone through something.
You must have gotten some therapy, though, right?
Yeah, I'm still in therapy.
Okay.
All right, well, you're taking advantage of it. You're doing using what's available there.
That's right.
That, ladies and gentlemen, that's what, even in the most extraordinarily traumatizing circumstances, actually taking advantage of therapy, using the tools, doing the work, you get a Miranda.
Yeah, I got to believe Miranda had a
genetic superiority.
I don't know what you want to call it, but some people are genetically more even keeled.
Well, some people talk about a resiliency factor that has partly genetic and then partly the first couple years of life are so healthy in terms of their attachment relationships.
Chris, how many miles?
Use the mic, please.
Chris. Still on it? I could have paced it off by now. And it's an ocean. Come on, buddy. How many miles?
Concentrate.
Focus now.
Let's talk into the mic. We can't hear you.
I don't want to talk. Don't talk into the mic. Okay, talk into the mic, but have the mic.
I'm on it.
All right, talk into the mic, but have the mic shut off.
No, I got to hear you.
Okay.
He's on it. It's 3,000 miles, I think.
Yeah.
Pull up a map.
Right. I bet 2,700 or something like that.
Okay. Violet? Well,
yeah.
And what's is New York 3,000 miles from L.A.?
30-something hundred, yeah. 30,
I think. It's above 3,000.
I think, yeah.
Okay. What's up, Violet?
Well, I guess my question is for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anorexic bulimic, and I've been in treatment before, and I've been out for about 2 months or so.
Mm-hmm. How long were you in treatment for?
I was only there for a month.
It was an inpatient treatment?
Yeah.
Did they advise you to have some outpatient treatment afterwards?
Yeah, but I've...
Why did you do that?
Why haven't I?
Yeah.
No, I have been. It was mainly I've been using my outpatient therapy as just for some trauma therapy with EMDR.
Are you doing EMDR? But how? That's the eye movement thing where they try to...
Yeah, but
that's... Oh, really?
Program.
Oh, that one. How does that one work? Hold on.
Nobody really knows. I mean, it's theory.
But how do they do it? And it's new, right? It's a new therapy.
Yeah, it's a technique. It's a specific technique.
What does it look like?
I think it's they sort of have you look at a particular spot, and they have certain ways of telling you to move your eyes.
Is the room dark?
Ask Violet.
Did she do it, or they want her to do it?
No, she did it. And then they evoke feelings while you talk about things. While you...
Violet?
Yeah.
How's that MDR thing work?
EMDR.
EMDR.
You can do it two ways. You can put headphones on and listen to bilateral beeping, and it stimulates nerves in your brain to shoot out neurons to special places in your brain. You can process traumatic and
stressful
memories.
Theoretically.
So you can sort of get over them. But, but they also do tapping. They tap you on your knees, left, right, left, right.
And you look, do you move your eyes to where they're tapping?
You do the eye movement if you put on the headphones and you look at a screen in front of you and you follow the dots.
Right.
Is it dark? Or do they put you under a hood?
They dim the lights.
And did it work, the EMDR?
Yeah, it works. It really does work. They a woman found out, she invented it by, she would walk every day and talk with her friends, and she noticed by walking.
Well, don't cut her off. I don't want to hear. How'd she invent it? She would walk every day?
She was walking left and right and looking down on her feet, and she noticed as she was walking and watching her feet walk left and right, she could process traumatic thoughts, and she started to actually get better.
Interesting. All right. So
it's something. We don't know what it is.
And it didn't work, or did? And this could be used. This can be used for drugs, for eating disorders.
No, it's trauma. It's trauma.
It's all trauma.
Yeah.
But what about the cause of some of these, you know, drugs or eating disorders?
Oh, listen, they all have trauma history, so this could be very important.
Could be applied to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Violet, you did the EMDR thing. It seemed to work.
But that wasn't directly for my eating disorder.
Right, eating disorder is a separate treatment. Again, my point, though, was didn't they recommend an outpatient program for you?
Yeah.
And why didn't you do that?
Well, I haven't been going back to my psychiatrist because she's been threatening me with hospitalization again. And basically, my parents don't want to pay for it.
Violet, I'm going to ask you now for about the fourth time. What? They recommended an outpatient program.
My parents won't take me.
Okay. Well, that's what you needed. If you don't get the adequate dose of treatment for a severe eating disorder, it's going to relapse. That's just the way things are. So it's a medical model. It needs a certain amount.
How about OA?
Yeah, the 12-step would be helpful for her, and the EMDR is good, and she's seeing her psychiatrist. You need to follow directions. These people are not making casual recommendations. This is the dose you need to get better.
Well, what's up with her parents? And that's the reason she has eating disorder in the first place.
Yes.
Chris. Yes.
Microphone.
Shut the mic off and then talk into it.
I checked MapQuest and doesn't have it yet.
MapQuest?
Yeah.
Intercontinental travel.
We're driving to Paris.
No, I know, but it'll check, Paris, too.
Really?
No. By the way, I'd like to see the map quest from here to Paris.
They only have United States and Canada as well.
Do LA, New York, so you can at least find the miles.
Get on to Venice. New York City, Manhattan. On to Venice, point 2 miles. Right to 10, point. On to 10, westbound, 7,500 miles. Over bridge has not yet been built. All right, come on, buddy. Let's go now. Let's go. Let's break it down. Let's go, buddy. Focus now. Hey, Chris, that helmet, it's not a chair. All right, gentlemen? I use that term loosely when I say gentlemen because you're not gentlemen. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. You know the other good thing to do when you're a coach and you got to deal with, 11-year-old boys, compare them to women all the time. Okay, ladies. All right. And this is a good one, too. I used to have my coach, Mr. Gallagher, used to do this, where they do my daughter Kelly's 9-year-old gymnastics team does more push-ups than you guys. And I was always like, that was a fire that was put under you when you were 11.
That's a nice sort of... value to stick in those young males' head, like anything demeaning. Females demeaning.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
In fact, it's the lowest comment we can make about you.
It really. If you want to get a 11-year-old boy motivated, just tell him about the ladies. And by the way, not a whole lot of difference between the 11-year-old boy and the 11-year-old girl,
except the girls run faster.
Yeah, they run a little faster, and the guys might be able to do two more push-ups. But other than that, it's a dead heat. Yeah. All right. Let's hop back to the phones. Brandy?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yep.
I think I need to go over the computer screen.
Go over the computer because there's smoke coming out of Chris's ears. Drew's going to go over there. Brandy?
Yes.
I want you to know you have the number 2 white trash name of all time. Number 2
white trash.
Number 1 is Cammy. Cammy is number 1. Brandy, number 2. Tammy, number 3.
And is that a compliment? I'm not really sure.
No.
Okay, great.
And it depends. It moves around a little. Sometimes Brandy overtakes Cammy. Other times Tammy replaces Brandy.
Does it matter how it's spelled?
No.
Nope, not at all.
No, because it evokes the same feelings. We don't see the spelling. We just hear it.
What are those feelings like?
I think El Camino up on blocks, chick drinking wine coolers down by the quarry.
Car farming,
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
White trash. All right. Okay. What's up?
I just had a question about oral sex and canker sores as opposed to, herpes simplex.
Mm-hmm. That is a herpes virus.
Everything's herpes, according to Drew. Look, here's the deal.
Typically.
If I burnt you with my cigarette on your chin, it's herpes, according to Drew.
Well, I've read that actually canker sores is actually like an ulcer, as in like an ulcer that you would have in your stomach.
No, ulcer is exactly what herpes is.
Right.
Yeah, that's what herpes causes, ulcers.
Canker sores are herpes, and herpes are ulcers. And ulcers
means a crater-like erosion in the mucosal surface, and it can be caused by an erosion of the bicarbonate protectant layer in the stomach, so acids come in, cause an ulcer, or they can be caused by a virus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There you go. You got a viral ulcer.
Okay, so canker sores are actually a viral ulcer.
Absolutely.
And they're viral, which means they can be spread.
Correct. And you can't really tell what kind you've got. But if you have an outbreak, you shouldn't be giving oral sex.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I figured as much.
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit that I have probably on occasion given oral sex when I've had canker sores.
That's how herpes gets transmitted.
Okay. So then, because of that, if I had my boyfriend go down on me when he had a canker sore, there's a chance that I could have herpes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me say this. When you guys have the sores, best not to be giving each other oral pleasure.
Right.
That's it, period.
Okay.
All right.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't sure.
Use the hand and a copious amount of water-soluble lube, and he'll be happy.
Right.
All right, baby doll.
All right.
Good times. Drew.
This is not easy to find this.
Really?
3,635 miles.
To New York? I'm trying to get straight to Paris.
Paris to New York.
From 3,635 miles? Thank you,
Anderson. How about L.A. New York?
I don't know, dude.
Okay, I'll get that. 32,000. 3,200.
Yeah, I'll get that.
All right. Thank you, Anderson. I told you he was smart, Drew.
Yeah.
He wouldn't listen. He's always arguing.
Hey, listen, he just told me how to write in to get my ticket taken care of.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
All right. Let's take a break.
All right.
Drew's buried in the computer. Look, it's first off, you were telling me a second ago when I was telling you it was a 12-hour flight.
I thought it was 10 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you said it was more like 8 or 9 hours. Here's the thing. It's further from New York to Paris than it is from Los Angeles.
That's 2,462.
There
miles.
You go.
That's 2,462.
It seems too little.
Seems a little short, but is it really over 1,000 miles further? No?
That's what the site says. I don't know.
All right. I'll buy it.
What site are you on?
Thanks, Anderson. I'm smarterthanyou.com. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. That's enough of the computer. We'll be right back after this. Hey, y'all. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Well, 10 hours and 40 minutes from Los Angeles to De Gaulle in France. And 3,600 miles from New York to Paris, and 2,400 from L.A. to New York. Seems short, but I buy it. All right. Now we settled that.
Oh, wait, let's...
And it's...
Double-check it.
Kelly works for American Airlines, knows exactly the mileage. Kelly?
Hi.
What's happening, Perky?
No, I just got off work.
Uh-huh. And what do you do for American Airlines?
I work for reservations.
Uh-huh. All right. So you know the mileage from Los Angeles to Paris?
Yeah, I just called to double-check it for you.
All right. What is it?
You want the exact amount?
Yeah.
3,452.
3,452. Which is... Not from Los Angeles to Paris.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. JFK.
To Paris.
I looked at the wrong thing. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's from JFK to Paris.
Yeah.
And then what about Los Angeles to JFK? Do you know what that number is?
I don't know the exact number. I think that's...
All right. Thanks, baby doll. All right. No help. Other than we did shave almost 200 miles off the... off of that one.
Yeah.
Then that's actually making a little more sense.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the phones we go. We'll speak to Parker, who's 23. Parker?
Hi there.
What's up?
I've got a 36-year-old girlfriend that starting to have a little stronger feelings for me than I'm having for her.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been dating her?
A little over a month.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time to call it quits. It's
kind of
back on out.
Well, she's a good girl. I love hanging out with her.
Then why are you calling?
And by the way, I can't believe she got to be some kind of desperate to be into Parker. He must be some good-looking guy.
It's funny how when you just have the voice, you don't get encumbered by any of that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God. She sounds like a 10-watt bulb. Parker.
Yes.
All right. It says here she has a son.
Daughter.
She has a daughter. Yes. And she's 36, and you're 23.
Yes.
And she's moving in.
Is that a deal breaker for you, the age difference?
No, not really. It's actually, generally, I've dated people, girls that have been, like, 1 or 2 years different from me.
Parker, can you be quiet for 1 second?
Yeah.
I want to listen to the mockingbird.
From a bird sanctuary.
Yeah.
That's nice.
The birds.
Yeah, Austin. It's calling from Texas. Nice.
That's yeah, cool. Yeah. There's some birds that up.
Okay, so Parker.
Yeah.
I don't understand. She's getting serious. You're not that into her, or you are into her?
Well, I'm not yet. I think that she's kind of developing feelings really fast, and I don't know if it's just something I should stay away from because she's getting feelings really fast. I'm not saying that I'm not going to develop those feelings. I'm just saying.
He's got a bad line. So I'm putting him on hold, but he can hear us. Here's the thing. To me, 23, 36, 17-year-old daughter sounds like, I don't know. I just think when you're a 23-year-old guy, you should just be a 23-year-old guy.
Right. He's closer to a peer age of the daughter than the mom. The daughter's 6 years younger. The mom's 13 years older.
Right.
This is going to be trouble for mom, no matter what. He's kind of not into it. Kind of like, you know, sort of exploiting her. She's really getting involved fast, and he doesn't really care about that. What are you going to do?
She's in a position where she's 36. She's probably feeling like the clock is ticking a little in terms of getting married a second time or doing whatever. She's, you know, 40s around the corner. And Parker just seems like he's not that into it. And here's the whole thing. When you're 23, you can dick around with a hot 19 or 20-year-old. They're made of silly putty. They bounce right back. They got no problem. They don't have a care in the world, these people. When you got the mom that's been through a couple bad relationships, has got a kid or two, and is looking a little long in the tooth, you can't screw around with that.
And by the way, mom was pregnant by 18, so daughter's right about on course now.
And
Parker could be the one served up for those purposes.
You cannot monkey with that woman. That's a long-term thing.
Yeah, right.
That's a permanent thing.
You're going to be dad of a girl who's...
Right.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Your own age. You're going to be dad of a...
Look, if this woman is the woman of your dreams and you're very much in love with her...
That's one thing.
Mazel tov.
That's not what he's saying.
If you're sort of got 1 foot in and 1 foot out, I'm telling you, pull the other foot out and get going.
I'm with that.
Jim?
Hello?
You're 24.
Yes.
What's up?
I've been married for about a year and a half, and I said we haven't had sex, but actually we haven't had much sex since we've been married. Our sex life was great before we were married.
What happened?
I don't know. I think we just got used to each other too much.
We did
everything we possibly could.
What's
sexually.
That mean? Before you got married, you did?
Yeah.
So or now you tried to in order to try to get things rekindled.
Right. So now it's just really dropped off. We're to the point now, ever since probably January, we haven't had much sex at all.
Well, listen, Drew is a man of exquisite passion. I barely have a pulse, so I should probably take this one. Wait a minute. I nodded off. Who are we talking to?
Wait, your heart stopped.
Drew, go give me some Valium and quiet down. Let me handle this thing. All right. Who do you think has initiated the no sex
drop-off,
zone?
Yeah.
You think it's you or you think it's her?
Her.
She has.
That's a bad sign.
And you're good to go, but she isn't.
Well, when she started, it kind of made me start, you know, dropping off too.
Right. So you've slowed down. It's like here's what it's like. It's like when you start starving yourself, your metabolism slows down in order to deal with it.
Because
if you were just if it was moving like it was, it would just start. You'd start eating your own bones.
All right.
Yeah. Which, by the way, if Jim could get to his own bone,
he would
take the edge off. All right, so she did this, and you don't have any, and she was hypersexual before.
We both were.
Ooh.
What does that mean, hyper?
Well, you
what
were,
do you mean?
Well, you say, hold on a second, Drew. You say you both were, but that you would be that way now if she was that way again. You're just going along with her.
No, we both just kind of fell off, and now I think we're to the point where we're okay not having sex.
Okay, there's a ton here.
All right, but
I
will, but a second ago...
I know he did, I know.
He said she's the one that stopped having sex, and he keeps going, we've decided...
I don't really buy the we've decided
part.
I don't either, but this is all the earmarks of those bipolar qualities in people who are sexually compulsive.
Yeah, all right. Now, does she have any history of abuse?
There are some possibilities of when she was younger, her stepfather might have molested her a little bit.
Just a little bit, though.
Sprinkle
from what I hear.
Sprinkling of sodomy.
Well, some of the stories he tells me aren't exactly molestation stories, but they're hearsay here and there. He touched me here. He may have touched me there while I was...
Word on the street, is.
Creepy stepdad, to say the least.
That's right. Enough.
Yeah, that's enough. And by the way, just having... we've talked about this a bunch of times, but the idea of you're getting out of the shower and making your way to the bedroom, creepy stepdad lowers the sports page and is leering at you.
Yeah.
Just living under the same roof with that a-hole.
Crazy.
I mean, imagine that kind of constant pressure. You're a 12-year-old girl. Ugh. How freaky has that got to be? It's like, I know he's probably not going to try to F me, but I know if I let him, he would feel my boobs. How freaky does that have to be? And by the way, how must it shape your opinion of men?
That's right.
All right, so how about she gets some counseling and perhaps you do too?
Okay.
You have some abuse too, right?
Not that I can recall, no.
Okay.
I grew up in a pretty good family.
Well, she has something going on with her.
Okay.
Yeah. And you ever been with a guy?
No, not at all.
Never. All right. Can she get some therapy? You guys are, newly married.
Right.
How about you're going to...
Work on a little bit.
Yeah, and here's the thing, everybody.
It's not going to get better from here.
Got to draw a metaphor here. Everything worth having takes a little upkeep and a little maintenance.
That's true.
You want a nice house, you got to get the gardener, you got to paint the place every so often, you got to exterminate, you got to get rid of the termites. A nice car, you got to put a coat of wax on it, you got to change the oil. There's upkeep. Everything worth having in life has a certain upkeep aspect to it.
It's a commitment.
A boat, whatever. Whatever it is you want, boat, car, house, you name your thing. I'm going to, hobby, sport, whatever, there's going to be some work involved with keeping it running right, whatever. Relationship, no different.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lucky, you get a nice, reliable Camry that doesn't really take too much. Even the Camry, you got to drop off over at the Jiffy Lube every once in a while and change the oil and rotate the tire.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Little something. Really, a 24-year-old new relationship or newlywed, put a little in. Put a coat of paint on it. Yes?
With you.
All right. Let's sneak beer. Who's been on hold the longest, Drew? Mary?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Mary. Mary, you're 23.
Mary, who's sleeping?
Mary, are you sleeping?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Boy, we need to wake her up and get a sleep study done because she needs a CPAP.
What's a CPAP?
Thing to make her breathe during the night. Just sleep apnea.
Sounds like a big gown. Sounds hot. Ooh. I mean, it's like a wildebeest ate her and fell asleep on the sofa. I'll tell you, if I was like thinking about robbing a house and I heard that coming from under the front door, I'd go to the next house. Be like, there's a troll or a bear or something that fell asleep in there.
Like the under the stairs at the Munsters.
Yeah. And by the way, they have all these things, these theft deterrent things, dogs barking and sirens and stuff. How about just the sound of 500-pound biker drunk and nodded off on the sofa? You picture a guy in a leather.
If you can really create that sound, yeah.
Picture a guy with a leather vest with a sawed-off shotgun in his lap and a beer in his hand, and he just dozed off. You'd go to the next house, right?
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's check with Mary one more time. She's been on hold for 76 minutes. Probably fell asleep about the time I started with Chief Thunderbear.
Chief Thunderbear, yeah, about right.
Yeah. There. She's sawing logs. You don't hear the ladies snore too often.
Not with that kind of nice, deep, rich sound.
Yeah, it doesn't suggest petite.
No.
Now, if she has the phone up around her face, it probably means that the receiver, the ear part, is somewhere near her ear, right?
I would think, yeah. So you want to try to wake her up?
Let me try.
Why are we not hearing her now?
That's a good question. All right.
That's not good.
Run out of ideas. Mary? 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 Mary?
she stopped snoring.
It seemed like it caused a little movement. All right. Let's take a break. We'll get back with Mary. It sort of it shut her up. As somebody who's the world's lightest sleeper, I'm constantly amazed at those who can nod off in the upright position with like phones in their ears and stuff. She must have heard her. Well, obviously heard her name on some level. She heard something, or she wouldn't have stopped. Right?
Possibly.
All right. Thanks for that commitment, Trip. We'll get back with Mary, and then you and me and us all after this. Y'all, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jenny McCarthy will be in here tomorrow night. Belly Laughs. Drew's read the book. He's enjoyed it immensely.
New York bestseller. When people say that usually, they're like, they're talking about some sort of ancillary list. No, yes. She's number seven.
Number seven.
New York bestseller, hardback.
It's hardback.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, I have this bad habit of sort of pre-insulting the guests' work before they come on to the show the following night. I should really save it for the night after.
Sure.
Anne
read it and liked it.
That's producer Anne.
Yeah.
Okay. I've not read it. I find Jenny McCarthy to be sort of fun and energetic and pretty. But I don't know about it. Is it for pregnant women?
My book's
Drew's pissed because he wrote what he considers a substantial piece of literature,
yes,
and no one gives a flying ass.
It's coming out
yet
of paperback.
Jenny McCarthy
in the fall.
Selling books left
Please
and right.
Put it on the New
but
York
understand
Times
her background. She was a bikini model. Drew's angry.
No, I God bless her for getting the success. But please,
Drew's
take
angry.
My book. It's paperback. It'll be worth like $3.
$3.
Let's put it on the New York Times list next fall.
Let's go. Let's get it on
there. Let's
that.
Get it on. Let's break it down.
Hey, let's get a hand in. And let me say this about Drew. He comes in here night after night and busts his hump for you. And what's he want? What is this? Pay-per-view? Do you guys subscribe to the show? Is it $1.25 a day? No, it's not up on the satellite.
Right.
He does it for free. Well, actually, he gets paid, but free for you. That's my point. So, Drew's book's going to come out in paperback. What's it going to be, $9.95?
Oh, no, I think it'll be a lot less, I think.
Our
paperback's like $6.
No, you're thinking of those crappy novels you buy at the car wash
or
something.
Right, probably
they first come out. It's
you're
like,
probably
they
right.
can be $12, $13.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I won't buy a book. I'll go to that big house where they lend them to you. The
book house.
No. Don't tell me because I always get it. Because it's confusing because it doesn't have the word book place in it. It's a big place where they keep the books. They keep them all in this place, and then you could go borrow them.
And in the olden days, they borrowed them.
You could borrow them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could still borrow them. Yeah. And if you got to bring them back, I don't know what you'd want with a book. Damn. What's it called?
Library.
Crazy. Yeah. It doesn't have the word book in it. All right, here's the point. Okay, let's just call it $10. Okay? Okay. Drew gives you tons of top-notch entertainment. 2 hours of top-notch entertainment. If you would just pay him pennies a week, and don't pay him, save it. Save that 35 cents a week. Put that together. I'm going to do some math here. Let's just say your book's going to be $10. It'd be like 17 and a half, 18 cents a week. You got like 80 cents,
yep.
75, 80 cents at the end of the month, times 12. You write about $9.95.
It's called Cracked. It'll
one,
be out in October.
One.
Paperback.
Please, everybody.
Please. I'll be
all
begging
right.
you.
All right. And somebody score me some value. Because I bust my hump here, too, every night. Zach?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah, I'm 19. I live in L.A. I was just a while ago tonight, actually, I was with my girlfriend, and we were fooling around in the car, and I ended up coming out in my pants. We were both on top chair. We both still had clothes on, and we still continued to grind against each other. And when we were done, I looked down at her, and I saw that she had a spot on the inside of her leg where the semen had come through my pants and
sure.
had gone on hers.
Sure.
She was on the rag at the time, and she was wearing two pairs of underwear and a pad, and she did show me. And
why was she wearing two pairs of underwear?
Why did she have to produce evidence of the double underpants, too?
I don't know. She just showed it to me. So
all right, don't worry about it, Zach. Relax, dude. Relax. You're fine. You're fine.
Also, her vagina was locked in an Iron Maiden, which was then placed inside a steamer trunk, put inside a straitjacket, and lowered to the bottom of Lake Huron. This was like a Houdini trick. I was wearing three pairs of tough skins and some 501s. She had six pair of Garanimals on, two pair of panties, and three tennis skirts. And some gauchos. My semen was able to penetrate the six layers of denim between the head of said penis and the outside of said Wranglers. And I noticed a small spot, probably half-dollar-sized spot, on the outside of her gauchos. She was on the rag and had been deceased for 6 months. What are the chances of her getting pregnant?
Of her conceiving, yeah.
All right. And Anderson, what did you yell at me?
Don't forget about Mary before the show's over.
Oh, Mary.
Go back to Mary. That's a good idea. Let's do that.
Right. Hold on a second. Anderson.
I know.
Don't yell.
I thought you were done.
Don't yell someone's name.
I thought you were done.
We have a way to communicate on the computer screen here. Give us messages on there.
You guys don't look at that.
I do.
I don't mind him. I don't mind you saying I get back to call one who was sleeping, but you can't.
I thought you were out of breath. I thought you were done with the.
No, I was never out of breath.
You'll know it because you'll hear a gap of silence.
Do you have gills?
No, he's got a clogged, deviated septum. So when he breathes, you know it.
Shut up, Mary.
Hello.
Oh my God!
Wow, she's up.
I am so sorry. I completely passed out.
That's cool, baby. All right. How tall are you?
5'6".
5'6". How much do you weigh?
About 200.
All right. Hold on. Let me do a quick radio math. 5'6", 200 pounds, and now I actually have to add 5% for the... So 5'6", 200 pounds. The radio math. Get rid of 5. Okay. I got... 5'4" and 13/16", 221 pounds, 4 ounces. Mary.
Okay, I'd say that's about right. I am definitely 5'6".
Okay.
Hey, Mary, your sleep is disordered because of your weight.
Ah.
We could hear it, and you really should take care of that because sleep apnea and sleep disturbances can really cause a lot of health problems.
What should she do?
Go to your doctor, general doctor, and ask about a sleep study, and then actually look at how many arousals you have during the night, how your air moves, whether your oxygen levels are normal.
I don't know how many times I've been listening to Loveline and heard people snoring, and you sit there for like 15 minutes and just listen to the snore to interpret what they're like thinking.
Well, you were not only snoring, you were talking.
Really?
Yeah.
What did I say?
If you want me to say it, I can say it.
Something about my cat. I know.
Well, you did talk about your cat pleasuring you on more than one occasion, and you putting a little pate downstairs and feeling
the. My cat is turning 18 this year, so I'm very happy about that.
All right. So listen, shocking. You have a cat, Mary.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We'll get to your question in a second, but you should probably lose some weight because it's probably the culprit with the sleep apnea. Yes, true.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm attempting to buy a treadmill on eBay right now. So,
okay.
Right.
But let me ask this. I'm not picking on you, but I'm just saying the people that sort of look. To try to make working out easy are the ones that just seems like they're going to stop. Like, how about you start walking?
Even heavy duty working out won't make you'll just appetite will just compensate. You'll keep your body will fight to keep its weight where it is, even if you're exercising.
You know what you need? You need a nice iPod. Put your favorite songs on there. Put some shoes on and do a little road work.
But I hate that whole copyright infringement, you know, restriction of turning your MP3s into actual like regular.
Perfect reason not to protect your health. Perfect reason. You've solved the code.
All right.
To find a way not to take care of myself.
All right. Well, listen, we care about all our listeners, so I just want you to get some exercise.
Here you go. What's up?
All right. You got a question about cold sores?
Yeah. I mean, I've been getting them since I was about maybe 13.
Where do you get them?
I have no idea where I got the original one from, but basically when I got them at 13, I figured they were just some kind of acne. I had no idea what they were. No one ever talked to me about them before.
Are they on your lip?
Well, they started around my the edge of my mouth, and then all of a sudden they showed up like on my nose, and now they're around my lips and around my nose and on my chin. And, yeah, I'm under a lot of stress, but I get them basically during the winter. I can get, like, maybe two, maybe even three at a time.
All right, there are antiviral medications out there for this, something called Valtrex or Famvir or Zovirax.
Hurry.
That are really quite good for these recurrent.
I got a beat off.
Okay, these recurrent facial oral ulcers.
Yeah, all right, so
herpetic ulcers.
Go talk to your doctor.
Yeah.
Talk to him about getting a sleep workup.
And the
talk
the
about the, losing the weight, and then talk about the antiviral medication. As they got medication, just avail yourself of it.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. That's the show, everybody. Jenny McCarthy, the great Jenny McCarthy, going to be in here. Is she going to hawk that book? Sell just a few more than Drew. That's tomorrow night. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.